Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Today, we're joined by Christine Hunawato, a training specialist with Justice for All. Christine spends her time helping Christians engage in meaningful conversations about abortion, human rights, faith, and ethics. Through training events, campus outreach, and one-on-one conversations, she equips people to become articulate, compassionate, knowledgeable, and courageous advocates for life. Christine, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
Okay, before
we get,
thank you so much. Before we get started, let me hear you pronounce your last name for our audience so that they know the correct pronunciation.
Oh, thank you for saying that. It's Hunawato.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, tell us a little bit about your background and what led you from physician assistant studies and higher education into pro-life advocacy and training.
Great. I worked, my educational background is actually in biology, and I worked as a physician assistant in pediatrics for a couple of years, and then started working outside of medicine with students in academic settings. I've spent the last 15 years doing that in a variety of contexts, and it was through my first work, or while I worked my first job with students, I worked at the University of Colorado Boulder, and for part of that time I lived in Boulder, and I learned that I lived and I worked and I went to church within 3 miles of three different abortion providers. Mm-hmm. And when I found that out, I started learning more about the reality of abortion that happens, was happening in my hometown at the time. And it motivated me to want to get more involved. And one thing led to another, and I was introduced to the work of Justice for All, worked with them a little bit as a volunteer, and I started working with them full time in August of 2024.
Okay, good. So you spent more than a decade working with university students. What did those years teach you about the questions, struggles, and pressures young adults face today?
This is a great question. I love working with college students and young adults. College students, they can be really sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and passionate and really concerned about justice issues. And I love that they're in this unique period of time in their life where they are moving on from the home environment they grew up in and starting to form their own identities and when it comes to their values and beliefs. And that relates to a number of things, whether it's relationships or what they want to do as a career, what they want to study, what kind of person they want to be. And they're making decisions about their lives and their bodies and the types of people they interact with. And they're doing it in a world that can feel really overwhelming to them. So they have at their fingertips access to not just news from their environment, but around the world. And a lot of them feel like they need to have an opinion about everything, which is really hard to do. And they have a lot of them suffer from anxiety, depression, loneliness, feeling isolated. A lot of them face a lot of social pressure, not just in person, but online through social media. We're watching the rise of AI. They're looking at how to interact with that. So there's a lot that they go through, and they're asking big questions about life and about their faith. And why do things matter? Why do they matter? Do they matter? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I have two young adults. My girls are 22 and 27. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Some of the things that they're facing on a regular basis, I certainly did not face mm-hmm. when I was their age. And so I think sometimes we neglect to realize the struggles that they might potentially have. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, that's not how I did it. Well, that was also 40 years ago, you know.
Right, sure.
Times have certainly changed, and we really need to look at what they're going through and what they're experiencing from a different lens.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So you said that learning more about abortion in Colorado motivated you to become more involved. What realities opened your eyes and convinced you to take action?
Colorado is a state that actually legalized abortion before any other state did. So their laws became relaxed before other states did. And that happened in 1967 before Roe versus Wade. And so I learned that. And I also started hearing and learning stories related to women who'd come to Colorado from out of state to have abortions, procedures that weren't available elsewhere. And this is a hard story to hear, but one of the stories that really impacted me was a story of a couple from Nebraska that came to Boulder. They had received a difficult diagnosis related to their child, who was 25 weeks gestation at the time. Came to Colorado, chose to have the abortion, went through the difficulty of an abortion late in pregnancy, and then went home in the following spring, started having some complications, and an ultrasound was done, and it revealed that there was a 4-centimeter piece of her baby's skull that had been left inside of her. Mm. And so the stories like that sort of highlighted for me what actually happens to the bodies of human children in abortion procedures, and what happens obviously to their lives, and what happens to women and how their bodies are impacted. And so there were stories like that that I just started reading about, learning about. And then I learned that in Boulder, there's what's called the Memorial Wall to the Unborn, and it's located at a place where there are approximately 5,500 babies buried, like the ashes from their remains are buried from just 5.5 years at one of those abortion providers that I lived nearby. So that just broke my heart. I think it was under 6 years total of the abortion. So anyway, the magnitude, the numbers of people impacted by abortion struck me. And then the fact that there are no restrictions in Colorado related to timing in pregnancy or related to reasons for abortion just was impacting to me.
Yeah, I think that's something as a Nebraska resident, I think sometimes we have abortion laws, but that doesn't mean that the girls can't, leave here and go to our border state of Colorado and have those abortions. And that's such a sad story, but we don't know how often that might happen because sometimes those numbers are not reported as well.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So how did you first become involved with Justice for All, and what drew you to their unique approach?
So I was in the process of learning about abortion in Boulder, and I was asking around about people, do you know that this is happening? How can we make a difference? How can we help? And somebody at the time that I knew reached out and said, hey, have you heard about Justice for All? And at the time, I kind of looked at the organization, thought, oh, that looks interesting, and then didn't think much of it. And then I started working at a university that they actually would, Justice for All trainers would come to train students how to have conversations about abortion. So I got to know the team through that. That was back in the spring of 2019. And I really appreciated what they did. So I remember going through a Justice for All workshop thinking, oh my goodness, I wish I had gone through this when I started talking about abortion, because there's things that I would redo in conversations related to that based on Justice for All's approach.
Okay. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with Justice for All, what's the organization's mission and how does it differ from many other pro-life organizations? Also talk a little bit about how you move people from debate to dialogue.
Okay. So Justice for All is a pro-life training organization, and we want to train Christians to have conversations about abortion that are productive and that are done in ways that value both the lives of unborn children and their mothers, or women facing unplanned pregnancies, or women who've experienced abortion. And we want to value the person that we're talking to, and we want to value all three of those at the same time in every conversation. It's very tempting when you are a pro-life advocate and you feel very strongly about humans that are impacted by abortion and wanting to defend the vulnerable, to enter a conversation sort of very passionate, very heated. There's a place for a debate, sort of formal debate in the discussion of abortion, but in a private conversation with somebody, you can get stuck in debate mode and start to picture your person you're talking to as your opponent. And you can start to think your view is the only right view, their view is wrong, and I need to point out everything that's wrong about their view, instead of looking at them as somebody that's a fellow human being, that both of us are wrong about some things, both of us are right about some things, and maybe we can shoulder to shoulder look at an issue in society together and get closer to the truth about that issue together. So we want to take a heated, contentious debate style interaction about abortion and bring it down to an actual dialogue, a conversation between two fellow humans.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's so needed. I like what you said. You keep the three things in perspective, the mom, the baby, and the person that you're talking to. And I think sometimes we get so passionate about what we know to be true, that we tend to forget either one of those three, you know, either the mom, the baby, or the person we're talking to, and just come across not in a very, not in a very God-friendly way. So, wow. So many Christians really do care deeply about protecting life, but sometimes they feel intimidated when it comes to discussing abortion. Why do you think that is?
I agree. A lot of Christians really deeply care about people impacted by abortion, about unborn children, about their mothers going through really hard situations. They might, you'd have to talk to everybody, obviously, to see what their reasons were for being intimidated. A lot of people might feel intimidated. Maybe they feel like they need to have all the facts down first before they enter a conversation. Maybe they just don't know how to start a conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe they view this issue as political and they don't want to get embroiled into a political discussion. A lot of people just don't feel equipped. And we find that people that come to our workshops after they're given some skills and get to practice those skills, they actually are much more eager and ready to enter a conversation. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different reasons. Some people might not, I don't want to offend women or hurt a woman who's had an abortion. There's a lot of different reasons, I think.
Yeah, I certainly experienced that. I'm going to say in my walk with, you know, my position. And I will say I probably have felt some of those as well. Sometimes even today, I'm a little intimidated, you know, especially depends on who you're talking to. You know, I don't want to be adversarial, you know, sure. Let's just have a conversation. So you're right. There's so many reasons that people, you know, perhaps feel a little bit intimidated to talk about life issues, and just really grateful for what you all do to be able to bridge that gap a little bit. What are some of the most common mistakes that pro-life make when engaging people who disagree with them?
So we, in our training, one of our sections, actually, we call it the good, bad, ugly section. And we model different kinds of conversations and different kinds of interactions. And we start with what we call an ugly interaction. And that involves us playing a pro-life advocate, talking to a pro-choice advocate. And there's a lot of being mean, talking over each other, making assumptions about what someone thinks, calling them names, that kind of thing. That we call an ugly interaction. And thankfully, that's not an interaction that happens all the time on campus when we're talking to people. But there's another interaction that we describe, which we call a bad interaction. And that's one in which the pro-choice advocate simply shares a lot of facts that might be true facts, and maybe they're quiet enough to let the other person talk, but they don't actually address the concern that the pro-choice advocate has. And so often the pro-life advocate is very focused on the human child and the baby in utero. But the often when we're talking about someone who thinks abortion should remain legal, they think that it should be remain legal related to something about the woman and something about the woman's situation and the concerns that they have. And so we want to actually address the concerns. And so a good conversation actually, we say, is marked by listening, asking questions, and finding common ground with the person's concerns that we're talking to.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Today, we're talking with Christine Hunawato, Training Specialist with Justice for All, about how Christians can become more effective advocates for life through meaningful conversations. Let's continue our conversation. So Justice for All teaches the three essential skills. Can you explain those skills and why they're foundational to productive conversations?
Yes. So the three essential skills we say are listening to understand, asking questions with an open heart, and finding common ground when possible. We've already talked a little bit about finding common ground, but you're right. I think we in a conversation are finding common ground whenever we can. That doesn't mean we agree with everything that's being said, but we can often find points of agreement and point them out. So for example, if someone says, I think an abortion should be legal, I can ask a question that says, do you think that should be legal through all weeks of pregnancy? And they might say, no, absolutely, I don't agree with late-term abortion. Well, I can say, I also don't agree with late-term abortion. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I agree with all other abortions too, but I can at least point out, hey, we agree on this. And so that's one of them, finding common ground. Another, listening. Listening, we say not just listening, but listening to actually understand. So that involves being quiet enough to let someone talk, and not just being quiet so that you can formulate your response or prove a point later, but listening to actually hear what they're saying. And listening allows you to gather information, but it also allows them to know that you care about them. And so that's really important. And asking questions is important because it helps you clarify what someone's view is and why they hold it. And you want to do that, again, not for the sake of asking questions in and of itself, but to actually have an open heart about the answers.
That's good. And I mean, I know you're teaching those skills in the, you know, kind of in the pro-life conversation, but those are, I think, three skills that, you know, every person should try to put into their personal life as well.
Yeah, we say in our training, we hope that these skills will help you in any conversation with anyone at any point about anything. I actually had somebody go through our training that said, I wish she had teenagers. She's like, I wish I'd gone through this before I had my teenagers.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Felt a little bit of conviction there. So why do you think listening is such a critical part of changing hearts and minds?
So I think in order to, you know, if you, first of all, how do you know you want to change somebody's heart and mind if you don't know what they think or what they feel, right? And how do you find that out? Well, you do that by listening. And so start there, because in order to have a conversation, especially about a topic like abortion, I don't want to make assumptions about what someone says or thinks or intends. I want to actually listen to what they say. And I think it shows them that you value them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And so I would assume that goes right along with the good questions as well. How do good questions often accomplish more than good arguments?
So there's a place for both good questions and good arguments, but you don't know the good questions to ask, the good arguments to use until you ask the questions to find out what someone thinks, right? So if I'm on campus, so for those listening too, so Justice Oil trains Christians how to have conversations about abortion. We do that through interactive workshops and seminars, but then we also go to college campuses and have conversations, and we invite trained volunteers to have those conversations with us on college campuses. And some of the tools we use, so one of them is what we call a poll table that has a question that has a yes or no answer, and often we use the question, should abortion remain legal or be legal, depending on what state we're in. And there's a yes side, there's a no side. Somebody can come up and give their opinion. And as they're writing on the yes side with their reason or writing on the no side with their reason, we can ask them more questions. And so we recommend asking clarification questions. So what questions and why questions, you know, when it comes to this topic, what reasons do you think abortion should be legal for is a question, or at what point in pregnancy should it be legal? Just asking these clarifying questions, because you can have two people fill out different sides of the poll table. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, one of them might say they might believe abortion should be legal, except in the case of rape in the first trimester. And they are signing that side of the table. Abortion should be legal. And somebody signs the other side of the table, abortion should be illegal, but they think it actually should be illegal, except in the case of rape in the first trimester. They actually hold the same view on abortion. They just define that differently in how they're answering that question. Does that make sense? So I want to ask follow-up questions to say, let's dig a little deeper here, and I want to clarify. And then I know, once I know their position about abortion and why they hold it, then I can ask some more challenging questions that help them consider their view in a different way.
So what would be some of those challenging questions that you would ask? This is my question. That you don't just jump right there first, but right. What are some of those challenging
I think
questions?
Those totally depend on the conversation that you're having and what their concern is. So let's say you're talking to somebody and they say, for example, I think abortion should be legal because abortion is healthcare. Now, as a former healthcare provider, I'm thinking about that question, right? And I have a definition of healthcare and I have a definition of abortion that I'm thinking of, but they might have a totally different definition of how they're defining abortion and how they're defining healthcare. And so I will ask some follow-up questions like, what do you mean by abortion? For example, are you concerned about women who've had miscarriages or have an ectopic pregnancy, or there's some other life-threatening situation happening within a pregnancy? Well, I absolutely agree. We should allow medical professionals to intervene in ways that care for women in those situations and do that in a way that honors all humans involved. That's very different than a medical provider using their medical skills to intentionally end the life of a living human being when no one else's life is at risk. And so I want to dig deeper to see what do people mean by that. So I would ask questions related to that particular situation. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah, absolutely does. You know, sometimes we talk about meeting people where they are in a conversation about abortion. What does that even mean?
Yeah. good question. So meeting someone where they're at to me means going back to finding out what their concerns are and addressing them. So if someone says, I think, you know, I'm concerned about women in really difficult situations. If I just go into detail about how many children are killed by abortion, which is a lot, right? Especially here in Colorado, over half a million that we know of, right? Of children who've been lost to abortion since 1967. This is a lot of children, right? But the pro-choice advocate might be looking at all of those situations thinking that's a lot of women in really, really difficult situations. And so I want to meet that person and find common ground, like we talked about before, with the many, many difficult circumstances that women face who are looking at an unplanned pregnancy, wondering how am I going to do this? I don't have support. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about a difficult diagnosis, something like that. And we don't compromise our pro-life worldview by coming alongside someone saying, I agree with you that these are really hard, hard situations, and starting the conversation there, building rapport with the person we're talking to. And then we can turn the conversation to a conversation about what is the unborn and how many humans are involved and what is the solution here, truly.
That's good. So how can Christians communicate conviction without coming across as judgmental or combative? And I realize asking that question, and even as I ask it, I'm thinking, if there's a non-believer, they probably won't be convicted, you know, because that's just what they're of a sinful nature. But I don't know, how can we communicate conviction without coming across as judgmental?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Holy Spirit is at work convicting people in the world, right? And so, first of all, I think we have to not be judgmental and combative, right? In not just our words, but our attitudes and our behavior. I think also coming into a conversation with a humble attitude that says, I've been wrong about things before. I think this person I'm talking to is wrong about abortion. But because we're both people that have been wrong about things, we're actually in the same boat and we're both looking at this issue in the world. We're trying to get closer to the truth. We can do that together. Not looking at, again, somebody as your adversary in this, but someone that has a set of experiences that they're coming to this conversation with. They have reasons that they believe what they believe right now. We certainly know the enemy is at work, wanting to kill and steal and destroy in people's lives, and has blinded people. So,
That's a good point. I think when I ask that question, I'm thinking more, you know, can someone that doesn't know the Lord be convicted? But the Holy Spirit does convict. It doesn't matter. That's a good way to think about that.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Oh, absolutely. So you've had conversations with thousands of people. What are some of the most common reasons people give for supporting abortion rights?
I don't know if I've had thousands yet. Our team certainly has had lots of conversations. And a lot of the reasons center around difficult circumstances, concerns about the woman and her health, concerns about the baby and the baby's health, concerns about poverty, concerns about the state of our foster care system, adoption care system, concerns about bodily autonomy, concerns about, you know, if we make induced abortions illegal, what does that do to women who've had spontaneous abortions or miscarriages, and how are they going to get the care they need? And so lots of concerns about sexual assault. That's something that comes up. What about abortion in the case of rape? So these are some of the reasons, among others.
Yeah, I think we hear those same ones here as well. And sometimes you don't always have the answers, but your organization helps provide those answers sometimes, or at least how to have that conversation. So how do you respond when someone says, I personally wouldn't have an abortion, but I don't think I should tell someone else what to do?
Yeah, this is a great question. We actually have a whole section in our training about, or a section in our interactive guide, which anyone listening can go to jfaweb.org and search for interactive guide and access the interactive guide. And we have a section in it that gives sample dialogue between a person that says that and a person that is interacting with that. And so when I talk to somebody on campus and that's their view, personally, I would never have an abortion. Actually, I talked to a woman fairly recently where that was her view. She's like, I personally wouldn't have an abortion, actually. And I'm a Christian. I just don't think the law, you know, should be make it illegal for other people. So I wanted to know in that situation, why was she personally opposed to abortion? Is it because she thinks that induced abortions are these elective choices that people make that intentionally end the life of a human being, and therefore she would never do that, right? Or does she not think it's a human being? So we went down that track, and she actually agreed with me. This is a living human being, and she just never would choose that. But she was really concerned about women getting healthcare that they needed in difficult things during pregnancy. And all it took with her was actually talking through the details of there's ways for us to make laws that really care for women and women and children during pregnancy, allow doctors to intervene in situations that are in ways that are necessary that don't involve allowing doctors to intentionally end the life of living human beings. And then, so we started there, right, with her concerns. And then we often use what we call, this is a skill that Scott Klusendorf with the Life Training Institute tells people to use. He says, in situations that you can trot out the toddler. And we do that sort of in four steps, but it starts with finding common ground with where someone's at. I agree that there are some difficult situations during pregnancy, during parenting, all of that, and find that common ground. And then apply whatever justification that's being used for abortion to a situation with a born child. And so in this situation, we might say, okay, first of all, I want to know, do they agree with me that there's different kinds of choices? So there's personal choices that we don't need to interfere with. And that might be what color I wear of something or what kind of ice cream I like. We don't need to interfere with these kinds of personal choices, right? But there's other kinds of choices that actually involve harm to another human being. So things like murder and rape, stealing, and those are choices that we would say the government should intervene with.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Christine Hoonerwaddle. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.